Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day. Welcome to the club, Nick.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Nick, as I was sitting back there, I've known your dad and your uncles for such a long time that none of them had gray hair when I met them.
You didn't either.
No, I didn't either. One of the things that I always would tell my kids through the years when they'd make fun of my gray hair, I said, you know what, I didn't have one gray hair till I had kids. I've been in the club for 30 years now, so I've been in the Father's Day Club for a little while. I know Chris has been there for a little while. So, but yeah, welcome to the club. But I've enjoyed every moment of it. I've enjoyed knowing your dad and your uncles through the years, even though they're all getting old, but older and wiser. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We're thankful that this day is set aside, that families get to enjoy each other, and we reflect on our fathers, those that are still here and those that have passed, Lord. And I think of the good memories I have of my dad, even though he passed away several years ago. And Lord, we're just thankful that you are our ultimately Father, that you are our Heavenly Father, that Heavenly Father, that you give us joy, you give us comfort, you give us hope. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the little ones that are here in our congregation today, and the future fathers and mothers that sit in here, Lord, we just thank you for their blessings and the blessings that are to come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I know we've got some outdoorsmen today, and I was talking to one of my friends yesterday that went to Hamilton Lake to go on a fishing tournament. And I don't have the patience to fish all day. I'm more one of those that I'll go out and fish, and if I can catch something about 15, 20 minutes, I'll stick around. And if I don't catch something within an hour, I'm done. He said they were in Hamilton Lake 6 hours, not one bite. So they were going all over the lake, and he teases me because I bought a boat this year. It was $400. I bought my little aluminum fishing boat. I got a trolling motor given to me by my father-in-law. And then I bought a new motor because I said, every time I go to the lake, it's going to start. So I bought a new motor, a little 20-horse motor for my fishing boat. So he laughs because he's got more in fishing rods and gear than I have in my whole assembly. He's got just some fishing. He said he's got about 45 fishing rods. He's got rods for ice fishing. He's got rods for saltwater fishing. He's got crappie poles, bass poles, bluegill, you name it, he's got it, walleye poles. And then he was telling me how much money he spent on his fish finders. And I laughed because he keeps saying, I need a fish finder. And I said, well, when I go fishing, I throw it in. If I catch something, that's where the fish are. If I don't catch anything, there's no fish. But he's got about $6,000 in fish finding gear just to find the fish. So I was teasing him because I said, all that stuff in a $65,000 boat, you didn't find one fish in 6 hours? And he was laughing about it, and he said at 6 hours, the guy that he was fishing with was a teenager. It was a friend of his son that wanted to go on the tournament with him. Well, he said after about hour four, he was sleeping in the back of the boat. He was done. So he said he let him sleep for a couple hours, and then he started yelling at him, get the net, get the net. And he was kicking the side of the boat trying to get his attention. He woke up, got the net, and then they caught the one fish. So then it was dry again for about a half an hour. So the kid went back to sleep. So he caught another one. He kicked the boat, wake up, get the net. Well, then he was excited. He started fishing too. So 6 hours, zero fish. The last hour, they caught like 8 or 9 fish. And they were like some 4-pounders, 5-pounders, some real nice big bass. But he said 6 hours, nothing. I would have been home, gone, out of there. But I think Jake might be that. He might stick around for 6 hours fishing. I think he's got that fishing blood in him, but I do not. Today we're going to look at another time some men were fishing. If you turn with me in Luke chapter 5. And also, Nick, when I met your dad and your uncles, I didn't need these to read the text either. Some reason it's gotten smaller. So we're going to look in here in Luke chapter 5. If you watch The Chosen, it was pretty interesting, this scene, how they depicted it. A lot of times when I read through this, I think of Jesus as really dry, not a sense of humor, and The Chosen really brought it up to me that he was human. And during the scene, as we read it, you just think of Jesus on the bank, watching them, smiling, grinning, having a lot of joy come from this miracle that's happening. But so chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake, I should have brought my iPad, I could have zoomed it in a little better. Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats that were there, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all through the night and haven't caught anything. Because you say so, I will let down the nets." Let's just pause right there. They worked hard all night and haven't caught a fish. We were in Story Lake a couple weeks ago. We went fishing in there, and we had kidded with Jake, because Jake and Amber were with us fishing, and I think I caught one, and we were there, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe two, but we caught one, but Jake was running the trolling motor. So when we found a hot spot and pull up a fish, Jake would just turn that trolling motor and turn the boat around so he was on the hot spot catching fish. That's what we accused him of, but I think three of us caught maybe five fish, and he caught 11 or 12. So there had to have been some reason he was catching more fish. But I can't imagine, they were there all night, and somebody coming along and telling me to put up my net. I would have been frustrated. I would have been like, no. I tried all night. There's not a fish in here. They're gone. I don't know where they're at. They're gone. I fished all night. But they had listened to Jesus' teaching, and they were aware of him. They weren't disciples yet. They weren't his followers, but they were aware of him, and they heard the words that he said and the wisdom that he had. So he said, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." So he pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed him. When I read through this, I thought, how many times do I try to do it on my own? I'm trying to fish on my own, and I'm not successful at something that I'm doing because I'm trying to do it on my own. There's a lot of things I can do on my own that I am successful. There's a lot of things I can do in life that I can shoulder and bear. And that's a lot in our culture. They want men to be strong and to take all the responsibility and to bear it all and do it on their own and be a self-made person. But that can only get you so far. You have limitations. And if you haven't found out that you had limitations, then you're probably pretty young, because I found I had limitations, whether it's my strength, whether it's my stamina, how long I can work, how long I can go. I have lots of limitations. And the older I get, I realize I have more limitations than I ever thought. I still feel like I'm 18, but my recovery time is a lot longer. I might be able to bale hay and keep up with the young ones for a day or two, but I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it way more than them. And so my recovery time is a lot longer. And I think that's one way that God lets us know that we need him, because we find our limitations and we find out that God is limitless, that he is He let them catch so many fish, their boats were sinking. And probably not in their wildest dreams could they ever imagine catching fish on their own like that. That they could catch so many fish that multiple boats were sinking when they pulled it in. But God did that. And I imagine Jesus standing on shore laughing, seeing their boats sinking, seeing the guys panicking. What are we doing with all these fish? And he was probably thought that was great. But God also does that with us. He sees us trying to fish on our own. He sees us trying to do it on our own, trying to shoulder it all, trying to take all the burdens, trying to carry it, trying to keep it all in. And he's standing on the bank saying, cast your net over there, right there. That's where you need to be. And sometimes we're too bullheaded to see that, and we think this is our focus, this is what we need to do. We kind of put our blinders on so we're not distracted. When Jesus is standing there and saying, hey, I can help you right here. This is where you need to be. So we need to keep in mind that we don't have all the answers as men and women, as mothers and fathers. We don't know it all. Even though sometimes our kids think we have it all figured out, sometimes we don't have it all together. And we need to admit that to ourselves and to our spouses that, hey, we can't do it all on our own. We're not expected to do it all on our own. That Jesus is there to help us. He's to point out where to fish. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. We have options how we can do this life. One, we could be like Simon, or we've seen that Jesus had the answers, that Jesus was a better fisherman than he was, and that Simon, from that point on, was going to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 16 through 30. This is entitled The Rich Young Man or The Rich Young Ruler. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about this or about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. We'll just stop there. This young man is an example of a lot of people today in society where they idolize something or they put something in front of Jesus. Maybe they want to be good people and they may think they want to follow God, but they're like, man, I'm not giving this up. You know, I hear a lot of people now say, well, I don't want to follow the Bible or follow Jesus because I don't want somebody telling me what to do. I hear that a lot. I'm like, telling you what to do? He's going to tell you a better way to live. He's not telling you what to do. He's telling you the better way, the easier way than what you're trying to do. And this young man wanted that, but yet there was something he didn't want to give up. There was something in his life that he didn't want to give up, so he walked away sad. And you think about, you know, what could his life have been if he would have did what Jesus had told him? You know, what amazing things were in store for him that he couldn't see, you know, past his wealth. He thought, well, I've got this possession. I don't want to give it up. You know, what could it be for you? Could it be your time? Could it be your helping neighbors? You know, there's things that we have stumbling blocks in our life that are like, man, I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. But sometimes Jesus is saying, that's where I want you to go. That's what I want you to do. So this young man, he lost eternity because he didn't want to give up and follow Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we're back into fishing. Jesus had been crucified and risen from the dead. And at this point, the disciples were in a little bit of disarray. They decided to go fishing. So in 21, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who loved Jesus, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. For they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So back to fishing. I'm sure he was chuckling about this again, that he knew they were there all night again and they didn't catch a single fish. And he told them to cast their nets in, and they caught fish. And when Simon realized that, he realized, all the memories that he had the past 3 years of walking with Jesus through his ministry. And he jumped in the water excited and ran, swam as fast as he could and ran to him because he knew it was Jesus. Is that the passion that we still have, as Christians? Do we still have that same passion for Jesus? When we're in life and when we're in the middle of troubles and, here these guys were kind of lost and they were out, fishing again, something that brought them comfort, something they knew because they were in a troubling time. And when they recognized it was Jesus' voice and it was him and they ran to him. Is that what we still do? Are we still trying to shoulder it all and keep it all to ourselves and carry our burdens and not hand them over to Jesus? Because at that time, Peter knew he had sinned and there were things that he did. And when you read through the story that he denied Jesus. But Jesus called him and he ran to him. And that's what we need to do also. We need to give up our burdens to Jesus and we need to run to him when we're lost and when we need direction. Because he knows where the fish are and we don't. He knows the answers to our life and we don't. So especially you younger ones, as you go through life and you run into troubles and things that you haven't seen before and things that you think, man, nobody's been through this before. Jesus knows. He knows the answers. So run to him and have that same desire that Peter had. You have a choice that you can follow Jesus like the disciples did and have that desire and passion for him. Or you could be like the rich young ruler and think, I'm not giving up my idol. I'm not giving up this thing to follow Jesus. He's asking for your all and he's asking for you to give him of yourself. And whatever he asks for, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Whatever he asks you, he wants you to respond with yes, Lord. Just yes, Lord. You'd be amazed by the fish that you'll catch and by the things that you'll see if you just say yes, Lord. One last verse before we go. Turn to John chapter 3. Familiar verse for everybody. We'll end it with this. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So that's what he wants for all of us and all of those that are outside these doors that don't know him. And we are his vessels to proclaim the gospel to the world. And he wants the world to know that he came so that they would have eternal life. So everybody stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we have a burden for those that are lost. And Lord, just give us your heart for those that are lost. Heavenly Father, they're not a bother. They're not a waste of time. Heavenly Father, just help us to see them how you see them. Help us to love others like you love others. Heavenly Father, we just ask you for these blessings to be able to see people like you see them and to love like you love. Lord, we're thankful. Thank you for this day, and we're thankful that we can come to you and share our burdens with you. And Heavenly Father, I ask for your blessings today on the families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.